things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 8 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And the good guys do it again.
What a season.
It has been. It was a very good game. Packers win 31-24. Lots to talk about for the game, but it's nice to go into Kansas City and pull off a win. It was pretty much right down to the wire.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of talk around the backup QB playing, and obviously that is a big deal when you have Patrick Mahomes, the MVP from last year, out on the other team. But there is a lot of weapons and a lot of firepower on that Kansas City offense still, where, like, you feel they can burn you every play almost on offense, and it's almost a sigh of relief when, you know, they're not throwing downfield to Tyreek Hill or getting him out in space.
I think that still not happy with, there's a lot of big plays that our defense gave up and stuff, but I feel that Andy Reid is very good at scheming, as we all know. He has been for years, and he's got a lot of footage on the Packers defense, so they played well. It did not look like a backup quarterback. There's a lot of teams that would love to have a quarterback look that good.
I think that's less to do with the quarterback, more to do with Andy Reid and the system and the play calling. I mean, that's what Andy Reid does. He makes quarterbacks look good in a system. They had Alex Smith as their starting quarterback all of last year and had 13 wins. This offense has enough firepower and the play calling to get the ball to guys who can do something with it, despite who's at quarterback. When you add in a star quarterback like Mahomes, though, that's just another X factor.
And yeah, it makes you wonder. I mean, it you can't just figure that if Mahomes was in there, they were going to win or beat us, I should say.
I think there's fewer gouging plays than it seemed like, because there was always that constant threat of it. When you go back and look, yes, they beat us at points, but you're just going to get that with the Chiefs. They have the speed to do that to anyone in the league. And overall, I think especially in the second half, the defense really buckled down, and it was kind of a bend, don't break game where, yeah, they moved the ball, but, you know, in the big moments, they had the red zone defense.
Yeah, well, it was the Packers started out quick and got ahead with a 2-touchdown lead, and then Kansas City was able to come back. But where do you want to start? I feel like for me, the one thing that on a broad scale, Kansas City's defense really started out strong. And I know we gave up, they gave up 2 scores, but I think after that, they really started to buckle down.
I think it. We really saw a game of coaches adjusting this game, where that was such a, you know, headbanger for us with McCarthy at points. Where we came out, had the fast start, and then they kind of seemed to smother us on defense a bit, where they were blitzing, getting there every time. But we adjusted, and we started throwing the ball to the running backs consistently.
Yes.
And Jones had, you know, 150-something yards receiving. We can go to it here.
Sure.
Well, while you're but they had over 200 between the running backs, so they adjusted to the blitz, got it to the running backs, and they did that consistently. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot more with LaFleur. Like, he'll go to it and stick with it when it's working, and he'll just you know, to counter what the other team is doing.
And doing open-minded. So instead of saying, I'm going to be a run guy, and then we'll throw every once in a while, no, I'll be a passing guy if it's working. So,
and he's willing to stick with what's working,
right?
Which is something McCarthy never seemed to do. He found something that worked and then went back to the game plan.
I'm sorry, did you give your stat that you were looking for, that you searched for?
I didn't. I was just looking at receiving for Jones was 159 yards, 14 for Williams. So just around over 170 between the two of them. That's utilizing your running backs. I mean, McCarthy would throw it to Jones once. It would go well. And then, well, see you again next drive. And it's like, what are you doing, you know? Why not go back to the well? They can't guard him. You know, they can't guard Davante Adams when they're in. That doesn't mean you throw to him once. It's the same with a running back. Like, the fact that he's so willing to, if a running back as a receiver is what's going to beat this team because their linebackers can't match up against our running backs.
That's right.
Then why not keep going to it and do what's working?
That's not the Packer way from back in the day.
So weird.
You know, I went into this for some reason. I don't know if I dreamt it or what, but I thought that Kansas City's defense wasn't very good at all. I thought our defense was a lot better. And I just looked it up, the NFL stats, and just the overall, not just picking one category. And Kansas City was ranked 24th, Green Bay 22nd. And by the way, we're playing the Chargers next in LA, and they are ranked 8th.
Are you going off yardage?
I believe it. Like I said, it wasn't in, I think it was just overall. Then when I brought it up, it gave you this the ranking for each team.
Yeah, because I always feel it's a little skewed for teams that have a high-powered offense like we do right now because other teams are throwing so much against them. So especially with yards, I think.
I did click on the headers, you know, and so you can narrow it down. But they just kind of moved equally the Packers and Kansas City. So I think they're fairly consistent on at least in statistically. And if you look at the score, yeah, 31-24.
I mean, overall, just a career day for Aaron Jones. Like, Rodgers himself was huge this game. He had 23 of 33 for 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And then Aaron Jones even topped his performance on offense. And it's, you know, I think one minor thing that I've been noticing this year compared to last year with McCarthy is that when we pass to the running backs, they're moving upfield. Where with McCarthy, when we did it, they were always moving parallel to the line of scrimmage, usually a few yards behind the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that's to no one's benefit on offense.
Right.
You're putting yourself with the ball where, you know,
you
they
just
can tackle you for a loss. And it makes you miss McCarthy's consistent one-yard Richard Rodgers tight end screen.
You just reminded me of, for any Wisconsin Badger football fans out there, they just got creamed by Ohio State. I, you know, went into it, I'm thinking, I know Ohio State, that I think the Packers or the Badgers had like a 16% chance of winning. And man, hopefully not too many people put money on that game for the Badgers but what they were doing, and I told you this when I saw you later after the game, I said, Ohio State is predominantly so much faster than the Badgers. And they kept doing these jet screens or the sweeping running plays with the wide receivers, and they're always getting tackled for a loss. It's like, okay, I know it's college, but what does it take for you to figure out it's not working? So that's my take on the Badger game.
I mean, the Badgers consistently have the best or one of the best offensive lines in the league. And typically, whether it's due to that or, you know, in light of it, they have one of the best running backs in the league a lot of the time. But I don't feel they have the, you know, most creative run play calling. You know, they kind of just are saying, we're better than you.
Yeah, they like that. They just want to stick to that 1970 smash mouth.
Where with the Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid has to get more holes in the run game and, like, be able to find the gaps for his running backs than any play caller in the run game. Like, I think I told you during the game, like, it probably sounded like kind of a weird comment out of the blue, but he's my favorite coach to watch his run play calling because he finds ways to, like, take advantage of, you know, when they had Kareem Hunt, he's a speed running back, and he finds a way to utilize his speed. He doesn't throw him, you know, straight into the offensive line like he's a power back.
He's a good example of looks are deceiving. I mean, you'd never look at Andy Reid if he was walking through on the street somewhere in Disney World and go, boy, that's a guy who looks like he's going to be an NFL coach. I would expect him. You walk into the pizza joint and he goes, hey, welcome to Pizza Joint. You know.
Do you think even after watching the game, your wife could tell you what Andy Reid looks like, or was she just so enamored with Matt LaFleur?
I think the
when he wasn't on correct. Screen, she was thinking about the last time he was
Can
on screen.
Can we just back it up to where he was on screen again?
We'll have to get her like a frame picture for next like
get her one of those cardboard cutouts.
There you go. Or a fat head.
I don't want, because I know where she'll want to put it.
Oh boy. Getting off the rails here. I thought Lazard had another really good game. Mm-hmm. The receivers all around were very consistent this game again. And we're recording this Tuesday evening. Mm-hmm. The trade deadline has just passed. No big moves by any team, really, but the Packers are who we were focusing on.
Right.
No big Packers moves in the trades. A lot of people are wondering if they'd be looking for a wide receiver, but I think we've seen these last few weeks. It's not necessarily a need for this team. They have guys that can beat you right now. We're 4-0 since Adams went out. We have
had just crazy. That's just crazy.
Efficiency per play. We are above what we were in 2011 when we won the Super Bowl, in 2013 when we went 16-1, or wow. The 2013-2014 season.
Okay.
So we are moving the ball, and when Davante Adams comes back, we're putting in a number one receiver that no one in the league has shown they know how to stop.
Right, right.
And these guys are getting experience to be bumped down the line to number two receivers, number three receivers, and not have the same guys covering them. And I think we're just going to really see this offense flourish.
Well, that's going to be wonderful to see that. Aaron was 33 attempts, completed 23 passes for 305 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, and his passer rating was 129.0.
He did take 5 sacks this game.
Yeah. Oh, man. Some of them were just – he just doesn't care.
I think part of it is, you know – he's not going to throw the interception or risk the interception.
But he's strong enough. He can throw it 10 yards over the guy's head.
Hey, how about getting sacked, throwing it to the corner of the end zone for Williams?
That was – I still debate on whether that was supposed to be going to Jimmy Graham.
Who cares?
But I'm just saying.
You put the ball where guys can make
that
plays.
That was an incredible play. I thought for sure there's no way that he actually kept it. Held on to it and kept it in bounds.
You hear what Matt LaFleur said about it when they asked him about
no.
it after the game? Uh-uh. He said it was by far the best play he's ever seen live.
Wow. Wow. You know, that's one thing about what a difference between McCarthy and LaFleur is that if something happens in the game, like he made a mistake, he'll come out and goes, yeah, that won't happen again. I should not have done that. Mm-hmm. Or McCarthy's like, I'm moving on.
Well, we have to stick to our game plan, so I would appreciate a new question.
He wanted to be a Belichick guy. He's like, we don't discuss those things. We're moving on to the Chargers.
I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, too, I saw LaFleur said something in an interview where he said, one thing he never remembers or doesn't think to factor into the game plan is that there's probably going to be a 1 to 3 magic plays a game by Aaron Rodgers. He's like, you forget when you scheme against a team, you're like, I think we have a pretty good advantage here. You know, we'll come away with a touchdown win. I feel good about our odds. Mm-hmm. He goes, but you forget that Aaron is not your normal quarterback, and he changes the game.
Well, my next note here was going to be talking about our defense, but we already discussed that. But there was a couple... whether you want to say that he doesn't want to throw the ball, throw an interception, but there was definitely 2 sacks where Aaron was out of the pocket and could have easily thrown the ball away, but we lost yardage on the play. Yeah, I know it's nitpicking, we won, but still, it's just like they're professionals, so we want to see them continue to improve.
So going back to defense here, Za'Darius Smith has continued to just show up and make a huge difference on this team. Hmm. And again, both him and I think Preston Smith for a while later on were down on the field for a while having to be tended to. It's like You know, they may be game changers in changing, like, the attitude of the locker room, but they spend a lot of time on their back on the field every game. But they do go all out. Za'Darius had two sacks this game, came in big moments. I saw Preston Smith get close a couple times. Having Darnell Savage back was huge, I think, for us. He's, you know, he makes such a big difference where he's up on the line when it's a running play, but he's also just solid in coverage. He came in, seven combined tackles. Martinez played, I thought, pretty well considering he had a club on his fist.
Yeah, he could have had an interception probably if he wouldn't have.
He had seven tackles as well. I think one guy who he almost didn't make the team, if you remember in preseason, Sullivan.
At safety,
he kind of squeaked onto the team, and we've seen him progress now as the season's going on, and he made that key third down stop at the end of the game against Travis Kelce where he jumped the ball, stuck his hand in, swatted it down. That's Sullivan that jumped that.
That was a big time play.
It was big time.
I actually went to look for the highlights today so I could figure out who that was, and then I forgot.
You go. It was Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
But yeah, fun game. I'd say by far the key to the game, or the biggest play of the game, if you can ever really nitpick it down, is the fumble that they recovered.
Yes.
Because that's the only turnover of the game. These are two offenses that are pretty consistent with taking care of the ball.
Right.
So that fumble was huge. And I remember thinking earlier in the game, if anyone's going to lose the ball here at any point this game, it's LeSean McCoy, because you see him holding the ball in his hand. You know, he's making moves and he's holding it. You're like, who does that nowadays? So you have to have, in today's NFL, a special kind of ego to hold the ball that way.
And it was such a gift. It was such a gift because I don't remember who it was for the Packers. It was laying face down on the ground, and the ball hits. It comes out of the hand, hits another couple of players, and bounces and rolls right to him, and he just kind of goes, ooh, and he grabs it.
The fumble recovery was Lancaster.
Okay.
It was forced by also Lancaster, Tyler Lancaster. So
Lancaster forced it, and he got his own.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
So big play, and then we went down and scored a touchdown, and that's kind of what opened up the lead for us that we were able to hold.
Well, and then the
second lead after we ruined the first one.
Kansas City kicked the ball. I think we had like 9 minutes left in the game, and they got it down to like the 1 yard line. And so we were able to continue to run our offense and get first downs. They had to eat up their timeouts. And so, I mean, this is kind of the Cliff Notes version of what happened, but it was exciting right down to the end. And wow, man, 7-1.
I mean, it was a very close game, and you knew it would be. They're one of the other best teams in the league. But like you said, 7-1. And you see this, I don't know if you would call it corner of the internet or whatever, but there's a corner of Packers fandom that are still upset that they're not reaching the potential they feel they should be. But come on, were you not here the last couple seasons? Like,
I guess you gotta appreciate it. I appreciate it, but I guess I'm a little negative on some things as well. But what do you think about the special teams play?
I mean, there was a few gaffes again. We've had that every week.
And Shepard still returns.
Yeah, I mean, he called fair catch when it was needed this game, so I'm fine with that. I think he learned from that. My biggest takeaway from the game was their efficiency on offense, where 62% efficient on third downs this game. In the red zone, 75%, 3 out of 4 in the red zone. They've been very efficient the last few games. Like, they've been killing it on third down the last few weeks, and that's something we haven't seen for a while, and we didn't see even the beginning of this season.
I agree.
So if that continues, especially when we get Devontae back, that'd be huge. Which, by the way, when is Devontae coming back? With just, you know, I know toe injuries can really hang up a wide receiver, but
every week they
kind of tease at it.
And I think that, well, you got to, because they want the team to scheme. That's like they kept trying to trick us into thinking that Mahomes might be coming back after he dislocated his knee. It's like, I wonder how much credence the Packers put into that. But hey, before I forget, since we were bringing up special teams, how about Mason Crosby, 200th game?
Oh, was it really?
Yep.
I sent you the link to that video for Aaron Rodgers' first game as a starter for the Packers.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
You did?
I didn't realize Crosby's been there from the beginning of Rodgers's.
Well,
Packers
he actually
years.
He played for Lombardi as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's been there for a long
time. He must have
time.
Some stories.
We gotta run it up here.
I think these stats that we were so kindly provided by NFL.com, they forgot the second half summary. There's a first half summary.
Oh really?
Yeah, they forgot the second half because I was looking for possession time, second half possession time, because it felt like we really controlled the ball and didn't give it back to him in the second half after we kind of struggled with that.
Second quarter. Son of a gun. Third quarter. There we go.
Yeah, but they don't have the second half stats. They just forgot them.
All right, somebody's getting
Someone's
fired.
Losing their job, I know. And then it just goes to miscellaneous statistics.
Well, son of a gun.
I know. I'm just as upset as you are.
That one nice in that third quarter when Kansas City was playing very tough and basically neck and neck. We had a really nice long third quarter drive. We got three points out of it. Didn't get a touchdown, but it was it's one of those that just kind of eats up the other team,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of set the tempo and set the tone for how you're going to play your game.
I'm just trying to check here where Sullivan played 59% of the snaps now on defense this game.
Hmm.
And I think, if I remember right, he was in like the high teens earlier in the season. So I think he's really earning trust, Mike Pettine's trust. And one guy, Oreck Burks, he didn't even play this game. He's on the active roster now. He started the season injured.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd see a lot more of him once he came back to healthy, because he's more of a coverage linebacker. He's that athletic kind of cover in the passing game linebacker, which is hard to find in today's NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's very needed by defenses who can be attacked by these quick guys in the middle of the field. So I don't know if it's just taking him longer to come back than they were thinking or what it is, but I'd like to see more of him. I think he's shined in the times that we have seen him in his limited playing time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. I would agree with you. Let's see, Ed on their long drive. Rodgers and that amazing scramble pass to Williams. Aaron Jones, what a great game. I thought Matt Moore as a backup, whether you want to call it scheme or skill, I thought he played very well as a backup, and definitely against a good team, mm-hmm. a good defense. And so
we did lead in overall time of possession game by a good margin, 33 minutes to 26 and a half.
Okay.
So that's how you win away games.
Oh, back on that punt, I was wrong on the time that was left on the clock. It was just over 5 minutes.
Okay.
Left. It was on the 2-yard line that they punted on. But then that drive at the end of the game, you know, where mm-hmm. we were just able to keep chugging away, keep eating up the clock. And
keep passing it to the running backs. That's how we salted it away at the end there,
mm-hmm.
the final pass to Aaron Jones. Brain fart.
you want to go gets over, worse as you get older.
You want to go over some of the scores from the
sure.
week?
Sure. Yeah, Vikings were able to eke out a win. That was Thursday night. They beat the Redskins 19-9. Let's see, the team we got playing up next, the Chargers, they beat the Bears 17-16, and that high-powered Bears offense. Of course, Chargers got a really good defense.
You remember the end of that game? The Bears had I think it was a 38-yard field goal. And they missed it.
Did you see what?
They missed it.
The field goal kicker said today?
No, I didn't.
He said that is it Matt Nagy, the head coach for the Bears? He told him to run it. I think it was to the left, in the left hash mark. And the kicker prefers it in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go by with a kick, it would have been good because it just missed left. Wouldn't a right leg kicker. So it's I wonder if that's one where they might be looking for a new kicker now because you're dissing the head coach. Of course, they need something. It just continued to stink.
I mean, this is the kicker they drafted, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, man.
Lions over the Giants, 31-26.
And they look good. They've looked good pretty consistently. So, you know, the Bears are kind of falling behind in record right now, but they have a lot of talent on that defense. And I think with how strong the NFC North looks compared to most divisions right now in the league, I'm very happy to be 3-0 in the division.
Amen. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And didn't the Bears start out like 3-3 last year, and then they really turned it around? But I believe that was how it started. I don't know. Do you see any other ones that stick out to you? Kind of covered the NFC North there.
Yeah, nothing that jumps out to me too much. I was looking at, so Football Outsiders, my favorite football stat is DVOA. I think I've told you about it before. We've mentioned it on the show. It's defense adjusted value over average, and it takes into account, it measures a team's defense based on every play in a certain situation and how, you know, good the other team that plays against and, you know, in that situation. So it's an overall average of how good a team is independent of how good the team they're playing is.
What's it, and it's called again?
DVOA stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average.
Okay.
So in DVOA defense, the Packers are the 13th ranked defense in the league.
Okay.
Minnesota is 8th. Chicago is 7th. And just kind of breaking the defensive stats this year in a lot of categories is New England and San Francisco.
Oh, New England is crazy.
Their defenses have just been, you know, killing people.
Mm-hmm. Did Belichick take over the defensive coordinator this year?
Did he really?
I believe so.
Oh, I didn't know that. And KC's 17th in defensive DVOA.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What do you want to cover next? You want to go over the game ball?
Sure. Let's do the game ball.
So you're going to give it to the stud, or you're going to give it to the old man?
Aaron Jones. You got to give it to him after that game.
Aaron Jones!
How can you not?
Yeah, just crazy, crazy game. Fun to watch, and you know, where Aaron is so good at seeing the scheme out there, and you see you got your running back against a linebacker, and he's going to go to him every time pretty much. And and so, nice job. Did it. Congratulations, Aaron. Remember, you can contact us through Bleeding Green and Gold and send us your address, and we'll get you that Nerf football.
So, can you believe no one's taking us up on that? It's almost like the players aren't listening to podcasts about their games.
It's like,
it's rude.
Like, what are those, like, is it, the sun will come out tomorrow? hey, just a reminder that besides having a cool time talking with my son about the Packer games,
cool times talking.
I like to stay in my booth and talk to myself, and especially when people I like to work with. And that's what I do, voiceover, voice acting. You can check out my website. I got my demos on there and give some descriptions, got my contact information. It's voiceguynextdoor.com. voiceguynextdoor.com. And if it's something you like, if you're at work and they say, hey, we need to update the phone system, and we don't want to have Sally from the back room do it again, we want something a little more professional, I can do that for you. I know people. If you also have a bigger project and you have multiple voices, I can help you with that as well. So it's Mike Reagan at voiceguynextdoor.com.
All right, you want to move on to picks?
Sure.
So I'm creeping up on you again, or higher up. So I was up by 3 going into last week, and I am now up by 4. We both took the Vikings to beat the Redskins. I took the Chargers to beat the Bears. You took the Bears. And so that kicker, you know.
Yeah, thanks, guy.
We both picked the Lions over Giants and Packers over Chiefs.
Okay. So I got to turn it around here pretty quick.
Yeah, it's looking pretty sad.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, got you. Bears at Eagles.
Well, based on how the Eagles played against the Bills, I'm going to go with the Eagles.
The Eagles?
I'm going Bears.
Oh, yeah? Think they're going to turn it around?
I think so.
In Philly?
In Philly.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Vikes, Chiefs. Do you believe Patrick Mahomes is going to be back?
Well, you know, watching him walk around on this, he sure didn't look like he was hobbled at all.
When did you see him? Was it?
It might have been the 32nd or the 34th time that
every play. How does Mahomes look like he's reacting to that play? Oh, he's still not watching. Okay.
Who was the quarterback? He had such a pretty wife, and they would always cut to her after every time he threw a complete pass. Do you remember that? It was like 3-4 years ago. It's like, how many times? That was like the over-under. They would do it for the next game.
Not Kirk Cousins, is it?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
But anyway, it was like they would have the over-under and how many times they were going to show her on national TV. Okay, so...
Vikes at Chiefs. You want me to tell you who I'm taking?
Sure.
Chiefs.
I'll go Vikes. I got to take some chances.
You think that's taking a chance?
Well, I my gut
they're
was saying...
They're 6-2.
But they're at home, and I thought...
Yeah, they were at home against us.
But they have to bounce back. Don't argue with my reasoning.
I want you to feel bad about your decision and nervous and...
I just had to spend time with you, and
I'm
going to
trip you up on these next two picks now. I'm in your head, man.
Yeah, you are.
Lions at Raiders. I got Lions.
Lions.
Ooh. Packers, Chargers, I got Pack.
I don't know if the... I'm going to take Pack, too. The Raiders are one team, but I don't know who they have left to trade, but I thought for sure they'd be doing something today.
They're actually looking decent.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
I think they're above 500. I think they're 4-3, if I recall. Almost halfway, or we are now halfway through the season.
Halfway, yep.
7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bye week coming up after the Chargers.
Is it right after? I thought it was 2 weeks away. I thought it was week 11.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't, besides Adams being out, we don't have any big-time injuries where we're really waiting for that bye, you know, knock on any wood we can find, but where we're really waiting for that bye week to be able to help us. It just hasn't been that kind of a season so far.
No, and this is going to be almost a home game playing in against the Chargers, because I think there's going to be more Packer fans there, and Aaron's going back home.
Well, I heard from people that were at the Packers-Chiefs game, it was almost a Packers home game, where you had the offensive linemen on the Chiefs trying to quiet the crowd because they were chanting, "Go Pack, go," and the Chiefs fans were yelling at the Packers fans to stop it, so it was just extra loud.
I love it. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, and like you said, it's now the L.A. Chargers. No one in L.A. has the time to care about the Chargers.
You got the Rams in L.A., and of course, I know it's a long ways away, but 49ers are getting hotter than hot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, Packers fans travel well.
Yeah, they do.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tickets for sale. It's nice to get another home game.
Great time of the year to go watch the Packers in California, the way the cold weather's coming. I don't know, man. I don't have much else.
You ready to wrap her up?
Sure. Until next week,
go, Pack, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!